It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
The best way to defeat this enemy in the long run is to deny them the recruiting tools that are and recruitments made possible by resentment.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Here's our phone number, 877-365-3636. A little bit later on, I want to talk about an idea I've got for an upcoming show where we have fun with our iPods.
Love that.
This is not a guessing game deal, but it's just we're going to bring them in. And the preliminary name we have on the board is Your iPod Sucks.
I like that.
So we'll see what happens with that. Without further ado, let's get right to this next gentleman. I am a huge fan of this guy. And if you want to know anything about travel, I'd love to run into him in an airport sometime. Yeah. NBC's travel editor, Peter Greenberg. Also, you see him on the Today Show all the time. Peter, yes. How are you?
I am doing just fine.
Really nice to have you on the show.
Pleasure.
Thanks for coming on. Tough week, I suppose, for all of you guys with the Tim Russert and everything going on over at NBC.
You're not kidding. We're still in a daze. I'm not going to soft sell that. It's true.
And for anybody that is interested in Peter's travel tips, you can go to petergreenberg.com. The first question I would have for you, Peter, is what year was it, and can you remember, when air travel turned into just the land of suck?
You know, I only have one question for you.
Yeah.
Pick a year.
Yeah.
Pick any year.
Well,
I mean, here's the problem.
Yeah.
And when I tell you this, it's going to be a little bit of a surprise, but would you believe that since the Wright brothers, there's never been an airline that's ever returned its capital investment? It's a bad business.
Wow. And that's primarily because
of fuel,
right?
No, it's primarily because of the two things they can't control: labor, fuel, routes, and the economies that fuel those things. Here's the issue, and nobody's really dealing with this yet. You know, let's go back to the interstate highway system, which Dwight Eisenhower had the best quote of all. He said, "America didn't build the interstate highway system; the interstate highway system built America."
Mm-hmm.
The same thing about the trains in the 19th century. So what we have to think about here is this a problem about the airline business or a problem about the business of this country? Because, you know, if you start pulling out flights and you start canceling routes, and cities find themselves without air service, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, there would have been a low-cost carrier that would come in and replace that capacity. Today, that ain't happening.
Right.
And it's not going to happen. And we're dealing with an economic impact that goes way beyond whether or not an airline flies or doesn't.
Yeah, but you really are talking about the whole infrastructure of air travel in America going belly up, perhaps.
Yeah, this is a national imperative. And I'll share something else with you, which will give you an idea of the economic impact we're talking about. On September 12th, and 13th, and 14th, and 15th in the year 2001, when all the airlines were grounded for 5 days,
right.
What happened on the sixth day when we were suddenly allowed to fly? Were we suddenly allowed to fly because we were somehow safer? No. It was an economic imperative. Banks and financial institutions in this country were on the verge of total collapse because no financial documents were being flown around the country. No checks were being cleared. It was as simple and as devastating as that.
So it really would speak to me when I'm hearing you say this. In order to preserve it, I'm hearing government intervention.
No, you've got to prop it up like Amtrak. No, I think Amtrak needs a lot more subsidies than they're getting.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But no, I think we need a situation here like we did right after September 11th, where we gave across the board the opportunity to these airlines to be bailed out to stay in the air. We don't want government. I don't want to fly on an airline run by the government. Thank you very much.
Okay.
But this is not about the free marketplace speaking right now. This is about the free marketplace screaming. And the airlines are circling the wagons, and the cavalry is nowhere to be found. We got a problem.
Yeah, I flew one of the commuter routes on United Express recently, and I'll be flying it again. And I was able to sit there because I got there very early for a flight, and I was able to witness a cancellation and just what people are going through.
Yeah.
You know, in the day where you had, Peter, a terminal where you would have someone at every single gate, mm-hmm. you have two people for an airline now, and they're trying to handle all the rescheduling,
yep.
And they're completely burned out,
overwhelmed.
And they don't have any. It really has it's become insane, and I do hope someone steps in to fix it, because otherwise it's just going to continue to spiral.
It's going to end up being what it was at the beginning of the 50s and 60s, when it was only for the elite.
Yeah. I remember those days. I way back when, and that
coat
was
and tie.
Back in the old prop days. Fly down to Bermuda. What can we do? And this is your wheelhouse. Now, as far as we can't change anything right now. We can't wave a magic wand. But when people are traveling, if they're going to travel by air, What can we do to make it less insane for all of us when we're traveling?
Well, you know, you started that question with an if. If they're going to be traveling by air.
Right.
My idea is on trips of under 500 miles, don't laugh, guys. I'm looking at Greyhound. I'm looking at Amtrak. I mean, the other day I was supposed to go from Albany to New York City. Right. I had a choice. I could either take U.S. Air with my captain, Skippy, right, with my knees up against my chest, and, of course, be delayed before I leave,
sure,
and delayed when I land,
right,
get stuck in traffic.
Right.
And that airfare was $509 one way for a flight that supposedly has airtime of 39 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Or I could take Amtrak for 2 hours and 10 minutes. That hugs the Hudson River, a beautiful ride.
Mm-hmm.
My shoes don't have to come off. I have a comfortable seat I can plug in my laptop. I'm not told what I can do and what I can't do for $44.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
And I loved it. I mean, when we used to be going between New York and D.C., I mean, that a
I
lot of you guys flew. But
you converted both of us eventually.
You eventually both started taking the train because I just adored
it.
It
was train travel
so much
wonderful.
Easier now. What is your, you know, is it true? I read, I think, on your website, 400,000 miles
yep,
a year?
You better believe it. And I glow in the dark and I'm a nightlight.
I'll bet.
Wow.
Do you have an international destination that that you're fond of? I mean, obviously you get that asked that all the time. But is there a place where, you know, you get that on your itinerary and you go, okay, oh, man, I'm so psyched I'm going back there?
Well, you know what? I'm psyched about every place, and that's an easy way to say that. But I will tell you this. With the dollar getting so beaten up by the euro and the pound, there are very few places, but with the few ones that there are that are really where the dollar is still king, you want to go. And that would be Argentina.
I've heard that a lot,
really?
And I know you've profiled Argentina.
We have, and look, it's 3.15 pesos to the dollar. I'll put it in real terms for you guys. I took five of my friends out to dinner in Buenos Aires at the best restaurant in town, mm-hmm, the most expensive restaurant in town. They ordered. They must have felt there was a flood coming because they ordered everything that was on the menu, and I'm paying for this. And what do you think my tab, and all the wine, all the after-dinner drinks, you name it, what was my tab, including tip, for five people at the best restaurant in town in Buenos Aires? Go for it.
I'm going to say you got five people. Did you have wine?
Tons of it.
I'm going to say $600.
Okay, any other guesses before I close the bid?
I'll say, since you said it was less, I'll say 400.
Okay, you guys are way over. Okay? You don't get to go to the Showcase Showdown.
This is five people in Buenos Aires.
That's right. 104.
Wow.
That is, you're selling some tickets right now. What about getting down there? I mean, that's obviously what...
Peter, do you take Amtrak to Argentina?
Well, you know, it used to be, think about this, and now it's come full circle again. For Europe, for example, it used to be it was inexpensive to get there and outrageously expensive to be there. Now it's a double negative. It's outrageously expensive to get there and it's expensive to be there.
Mm-hmm.
At least with Argentina, it's somewhat expensive to get there, but once you're there, it ain't expensive.
And pretty hot ladies, I understand, in Argentina as well, right?
I would like to declare my citizenship right now, yeah.
All right.
Good answer.
I mean, that is somewhere that I've never had that fascination with South America, but I really, I'd love to go down there. And they've got great beef down there as well, right? Great
but it's
food.
The wines. If you go to Western Argentina, you're in Mendoza, and I'm not making this number up. There are 880 unbelievable wineries up there in the Andes,
wow,
that make the Malbec wines that are world-class, and they're not expensive.
What I wanted to ask you about air travel, just one other question about that. Do you ever see the pendulum swinging back? I mean, will it ever happen where, you know, it's obviously not going to be shirts and ties and everybody gets champagne, but do you ever see it, maybe some airlines coming in and charging a lot more, but you've got more access to some, you know, if people want to save up for two years and go on a real, you know, and it's not, you know,
a
we're
nice
going
trip
to Florida every single, you know, spring. Do you see that happening?
I do, and it's already starting to happen in the hotel business, and it will happen in the airline business. Think about what's going on in the hotel business right now. The low end is doing very, very well. Right, the budget hotels,
right,
like Hampton Inns and Courtyards by Marriott. The high end, the Ritz-Carltons and the Four Seasons are doing well. It's the middle levels that are dying because if you can't define your brand, you can't justify your rates. I'm sorry, Mr. and Mrs. Sheridan, but I don't understand what I'm paying $270 for a room for in a hotel that has no character and doesn't provide me a valuable experience.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So I'm either going to upgrade or downgrade. I'm not just identifying Sheridan. I can throw in Marriott and Hyatt and Holiday Inn Crowne Plaza at the same time. But somebody somebody can define for me what a Holiday Inn Crown Plaza is, I would like to know that. I'll even give you a matching set of luggage for that.
Oh,
one.
I met a nice
so
girl there.
So the same
time.
Thing has happened. Well, that's a, that, then you had a valuable experience. Or you had an expensive experience.
No, it wasn't expensive. Just a little memory. You know, just making memories here. Rob, you had a question for Peter Greenberg.
Peter, earlier this year, I flew Virgin American across country. Have you flown Virgin American?
Yes, I have.
Now, they have got a great job done with interactive entertainment and texting and video games.
Are they paying you to say that? By
no. Okay, they paid me once, but MP3s and everything. Do you see that becoming a trend where there's more in-seat entertainment to keep you busy? I mean,
well, it's not a question about keeping you busy. It's about what you would value as an experience. So, for example, in the next 2 or 3 weeks, you'll see American Airlines announce that they're going to put on-board Wi-Fi. So you can actually go across the country and answer all your emails. You know what? They're going to charge you something like $12 or $13 per flight. I'll pay that.
I'll pay it.
No in-flight cell phones, because I don't want to punch anybody out because they're screaming on the phone.
Right.
But for your internet, you bet.
I mean, this is getting very detailed when I'm talking about the, and obviously you've been on the Today Show talking about the charging for luggage.
Right.
I'll tell you that it's not necessarily the charge as much as the way they did it to me.
Correct.
When I'm at United and I've got to whip out the credit card again, they've got to type into their computer for another 10 minutes.
Listen, they've created
That's
their
what
own,
drove me nuts.
They've created their own perfect storm. And the reason for that is this. No airline wants to increase fares but they don't want to do it that way because if the other competitors don't match it, the fare increase doesn't hold up. So what they do is they keep the fares at an artificially lower, not low, but lower level, and then nickel and dime us for everything short of breathing. And this is going to it's going to come back to hurt them because what they're gaining in short-term revenue, they're losing in productivity, and they're losing in revenue because the lines that are going to be at the airlines for people having to do just what you said, to whip out their credit cards and fights that take place at the counter. I'm going to be doing a piece in the next couple of weeks on the Today Show, Necessity Being the Mother of Invention. They're manufacturing clothing now. With 16 pockets in a jacket. Are you ready for this?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you basically get to wear your bag so that you don't have to check it.
I love that.
Oh, can you brilliant. Imagine that at the security line?
I know. That's going to be – well, that's when you get the clear card, right?
Well, no. The clear card's another issue.
Okay.
I don't know how much time we've got, but the clear
Peter, I'm fascinated by this, and we made time for you. If you want to talk about it, we'll listen to it.
I'll tell you about the clear card.
Okay, go ahead.
It's a great idea.
Uh-huh.
If you're a frequent flyer, for about $100, you submit your name for a background check, and guess what? You're supposed to, zip right through that line.
Right. What they say.
Okay. Well, guess what?
What?
The TSA's not totally behind this, and they made it so difficult that right now, they still reserve the right to take your shoes off. They still reserve the right for secondary screening.
Sure.
So the point is you get to stand on another line with guys who paid $100 going, why did we do this? The lesson here is it's a great concept. I'm telling you, I would join in a second, but I want everybody to remember the lesson that we learned from the movie Saving Private Ryan. And the lesson that we learned from that movie is not a good idea to be in the first wave.
Yes,
yeah.
Very, very dangerous. So you don't want to be the experimental
Wait till it settles out and then join.
They are just savaging me with emails about that clear card. I get that all the time. Buzz, you had a question for Peter.
Yeah, based on something Peter said, of the scores of thousands of miles that you travel every year, Peter, these days, what's the percentage of flights that suck, that something just awful happens? And as much as you love to travel, how miserable does it get for you?
Well, let's get to a definition of the word suck.
All right,
okay?
All right, please.
I said air travel was the land of suck.
Well, okay.
And then that's my definition.
That
right
works
there.
For me, but we have to put this in really good perspective.
Okay.
And the way we do that is this. When people call me on the phone or they send me emails saying, I just had the worst flight in the world, it was horrible, it was the worst on the Holocaust, I will never fly this airline again, I always ask them two questions.
Mm-hmm.
And the two questions I ask them are these. Number one, at any time in your flight, did you hit a mountain?
Uh-huh.
Okay? And if the answer is no, we go to the second question. And the second question is, and when you landed, did the wings cartwheel and explode into flames? And if the answer is no to both questions, I say, you didn't have a horrible flight. You had a tremendously wonderful flight. You landed, you idiot.
I just remembered. Now you just jogged something in my pea-sized brain, Peter. You were talking about that. You've done, is it the History Channel where you've done some stuff on airlines and air safety and all
stuff? And we're doing another one on NBC this fall. I'm going to be hosting a one-hour Dateline special solving the crash of the Concorde back in 2000, what really happened.
And so I have to ask this, because I ask this for people at cocktail parties when I'll be talking to them. Of all those miles, your single scariest moment on an airplane?
Good. Ooh. I've had a couple.
I bet you have,
sure.
But you know what? With all those miles, having a couple means not many.
Yeah, that's pretty
that
good.
Is true.
And I've had a couple where, you know, I was inhaling, and there was nothing I could do about it. You sit back, relax, and just hold on tight, you know. A couple, one in Cleveland, one in JFK, one in Hong Kong, and
the old airport in Hong Kong?
The old Kai Tak, that's right.
If you just very briefly for our listeners, the old Hong Kong airport, and I've read about this because I'm fascinated by it, was just 747s coming in, right, Peter, and having to take that huge bank right turn when they're landing?
I've actually flown it in the cockpit of a 747 because I wanted to try it.
Right.
And I have to tell you, that was really flying the plane. There, you got down to about 675 feet, and you looked at a mountain. And if you saw an orange and white checkerboard, the minute you saw that checkerboard, you had to do a 27-degree bank.
27
and
degrees.
And if you didn't do it immediately, you'd overshoot the runway. And anybody sitting on the right side of the plane, because you were really threading through downtown Kai Tak, which is a lot of high-rise buildings, anybody sitting on the right side of the plane who wasn't ready for this could look out their window and see what people were eating for dinner on the 30th floor of their apartment. And it was great.
Oh, that's great.
And as a result, the airport really enjoyed a very good safety record because every pilot who was coming in was screaming.
Wide awake.
Wide awake.
That's great. And one last question for you. Do you have one rule above all others for Americans that are traveling? Is there anything you do?
Okay, ooh, good. This is my mantra, and if you don't believe me, you're in trouble. Here it is. Never, ever take a no from somebody who's not empowered to give you a yes in the first place.
I like that a lot. Peter, you've been very generous with your time. Thanks so much, and good luck with everything, and our condolences on the loss of your colleague, Tim Russell.
Yeah, much appreciated on that, guys. He's going to be succeeded, but he's never going to be replaced.
Right. Thanks so much, Peter. I hope we get a chance to talk to you again soon.
Yeah, anytime, guys.
If you're ever in D.C., you must come by.
You got a deal.
All right, take care.
Thank you, Peter.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. That's Peter Greenberg, travel editor for NBC News.
That's not going to happen, Rob. He doesn't get out much.
I understand.
Told you guys about the train. There he was talking about the train.
Yeah. The right. Wave of the future.
I mean, I love it. I love it, but I did take the auto train, and the auto train.
That's a bit much.
Yeah,
but D.C. to New York is about the most perfect train trip there is.
He was talking about shorter trips, I think.
The auto train, my issue with the auto train was just when you get up in that bunk and you're cruising along, you know, suddenly, I mean, I'm always very at ease on a train, but suddenly I just start thinking about derailment. I am always thinking about
you.
Derailment.
That's just you.
No, it's not just me. I just think because you're going so goddamn
and
fast.
And wasn't there an issue with a Band-Aid in the shower or something?
There was a Band-Aid that was in the shower, and there was also, or it might have been a Band-Aid very similar to your hotel experience that just stayed in one place. No, it was in the shower. Because you actually have to use, you know, if it's hot, which it was when I traveled, you have to use the community shower.
Just so you know.
It's okay when you know, that's like showering inside a Texaco restaurant.
In my hotel, the Band-Aid was in the hall. The only thing I ever found in my room was a cherry stem.
Was it tied or untied? I don't know. I forgot. I wanted to ask him about all-inclusives, too.
I'd love to have him back.
Let's get him back.
I want to know, you know, about when you're going there, if you're going to the Caribbean or something like that. I love the idea. I did it a long time ago.
I'd like to ask him about nude resorts.
I bet he knows.
Of course he does.
He knows about all of that. You know, Buenos Aires, he gave us the confirmation on hot women down there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the all-inclusives, the best in the world. You know, you get off that plane, drive to the place you're at, and let the games begin.
Yes,
you don't pay for a thing. You don't tip for it. You know, already done.
You can lock up your wallet for a week.
I sound like an old fart, don't I? All done for you. They lace your shoes.
No, that's very cool.
We had something like that on our honeymoon where we stayed on the property in Cancun. Everything we did on the hotel we got for 75% off.
Right.
Which was pretty good.
Right.
But all-inclusive, I have to wonder if it's worth it.
I think he was holding back when he was when I asked him to tell those those tough stories on an airplane because he's had dozens of them.
He liked talking about flying into Japan.
Do you remember your toughest airplane memory? I have mine.
Buzz was next to me.
Usually we were on the same plane.
Scary moment.
Was that the one where they aborted the landing at National?
It was Wichita International, I think.
Wichita International, TWA, maybe?
Yeah, it was a TWA flight. Good memory.
Well, you know how I am about flying. We're coming into National Airport.
Right.
And I would estimate we're maybe at 6,000 feet. Maybe 5,000.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Gear down. He starts to make the descent.
We were at 30 feet.
It seemed like 30 feet. Yeah.
We were drinking water out of the Potomac. No. He's making the landing, and he's coming down. He's coming down, coming down. And I realized as we're going over the 14th Street Bridge, I'm saying, this is
not right.
A little high. And I'm not talking about, you know, Buzz Burbank
right.
high.
Right.
I'm talking about the fact that he's, you know, the altitude is a little ridiculous.
For his approach.
And then, man, there's no bigger thrill. Wheels up, you go straight up in the air, and, you know, they abort the landing.
I remember seeing puddles of sweat in my hand. I mean, literal puddles of sweat. It was the
weirdest feeling. And then there was another one where we were supposed to come into National, and they diverted over to BWI. Do you remember that one? Were you on that flight,
or was that just me and Don? No, I was not
must
on
have
that
been you too.
And that's the one where I had my car at National Airport, but I was living in Annapolis, and they landed at BWI, and I said, I'm walking home. I got off the plane. They flew back to, eventually flew back to National.
Right.
I didn't do that. I got off the plane, and that was it. But I was really freaked out by the whole
thing. That's a convenient triangle, Annapolis, BWI, and National.
Yeah, and then they're driving around here, you know, it's fine. Greyhound, I might try that. Bob, Fredericksburg, you have something about all-inclusives.
Call me when you ride Greyhound,
yeah.
Mike, okay?
Call me when you have no class. What can we do for you, Bob?
I just got back from one about a month ago. They're well worth it. They're
I love them.
They're great. You start at the top of the drink menu and work your way down.
That's
throughout
right.
the day.
And don't give it a thought.
Thanks so much. Don't forget to listen to the show tomorrow, okay, Bob?
All right.
Alcoholic Friday, as I've renamed
it. Drinking, you like this.
Should be a lot of fun. Let's. We got to take a break, but let's go to Steve in Annandale. How you doing, Steve?
Just fine. The only bad thing about all-inclusives is, you know, it's all three of your meals are, you know, included and everything. And if there are half a dozen nice restaurants around, like in Cancun, every time you go out to Pat O'Brien's or Gypsy's or whatever, you're thinking, gee, I got free food back at the hotel, and I'm paying $20 for a meal here, you know. So.
Yeah, well, I think all-inclusives. But here's the thing. When you're talking all-inclusives, I think you stay somewhere where you don't have that temptation.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's what I did.
You go someplace that's
like,
a resort unto itself.
And
make sure everyone is naked. That's what I urge
That's what I did.
Of course you did. Did you stay? Where did you go?
Hedonism.
Oh, you went there?
Sloth and Gluttony were closed.
You went to Hedonism?
I did. Three times.
Wait a minute. We sent Dennis down there.
Oh, but this was years ago. But yeah, I've been there three times. I loved it. And it was all inclusive.
Will you tell us about hedonism when we come back?
Anytime.
Do you have a hedonism story?
Well, yeah, I've actually shared one of them with you already, but sure.
Oh, that's the one where you swung.
That's where it happened, yeah.
I never knew that.
I didn't know it was hedonism.
Yeah. No, remember? Well, it's been a long time since I told the story.
Oh, boy. Oh, sorry. Before we break, got to get a pilot on. Anytime a pilot closes
sure.
the show,
yes, please.
He gets right through. Fast thing. Eric, are you a pilot?
Yes, sir.
Okay, tell us your scary story, please.
Okay, I'm commuting out to work. From National, I was on a regional carrier from Delta, and I'm going out to Cincinnati, commuting out there. I'm sitting in the back. We're coming out, climbing up. All of a sudden, pilots nose the plane over, and they keep going, and they nose it over so hard that they actually pulled what's called negative Gs, and I floated out of my seat. The flight attendant who was sitting in the front was giving an announcement. She drops her phone, turns white as a sheet, grabs onto the seat, and people in the plane are looking at me because I'm in uniform. They're like, you know, what's going on? The worst
Everybody looks at you, and you're like, I'm not flying it.
Yeah, well, that's what was so scary about it because, you know, I'm so used to being up front and being in control. And I wasn't, and I had no control over the situation. And the pilot never came on the intercom.
Oh, my God. He never said anything?
He never apologized. He never said anything on the whole trip back there. And when we got to Cincinnati, I was getting off the plane. I just looked at the guy, and he just had nothing to say, and it was just surprising. But
did you bust his balls? Isn't that the fraternity of pilots where you gave the guy some crap?
You got to.
You know, they were nice enough to let me commute. There's also
it's the free flight. Yeah,
that it's like, hey, you want to get back on my plane again? You know,
yeah, okay.
Do you think he was too frightened to speak?
You know, it's hard to say because I mean, he could have. We have in the plane there are collision avoidance instruments that help you avoid accidents, and he could have been doing that, but it's kind of doubtful. He probably busted through an altitude and was trying to go back down.
Well, as a pilot, can I tell you this? You know, being a phobic flyer like I am, you're not nearly as bad as I used to be, but man, when something happens, please come on
explain
and at least
it.
Even if you're throwing a line of crap a mile along at us, you know, let us know what's going on, because really that alleviates the tension. It really, really does.
We want to know.
You know, even if it's a super little bump, you know, that you go through, you know, tell me that it's some sort of turbulence that you get occasionally.
That was a dragon.
What are you flying now? Eric, what are you flying now?
Actually, I've been out of flying for a little bit, but I'm going back to work the end of this end of July, back with the company. I took time off to be home with the family and stuff. So
cool. Take us to Argentina.
Yeah, but you said National Airport has the highest number of go-arounds and of any airport in the United States.
All right, now I'm queasy. Now you got me.
They operate three runways simultaneously, wind conditions permitting, all the time because it's such a short field and there's so much traffic in and out of there, they have to do that.
Isn't National totally ill-equipped for modern aircraft?
All right, everybody stop. Stop it. I can't stand it. Anyway, Eric, we're going to let you go.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Thanks for the call. I was fine like when it was like somebody else.
Informal,
when it was distant, I could deal with it. As soon as it became,
it's
one of the worst airports in the world. I hate to hear that.
Well, it was designed for the convenience of the president and the senators.
I know it was.
Now Dulles is a great airport.
Now
they
it's
have,
designed.
They have mobile lounges.
Now it's designed for the convenience of Mikey. Yeah, I love those mobile lounges at Dulles Airport, Rob. Bethann McBride has joined us in studio.
Don't worry. It was only a dragon.
What does that mean?
That was the funniest thing you said.
That was what I said. That was the explanation for the bump in the flight. You said, if there was a problem, at least
just
make something up.
I missed that.
Yeah, he said.
Anytime I miss something, he says that. Please come in and remind me.
It was so funny.
Because it's funny just to see you laugh.
It was so funny.
All right, well, that's good.
Yeah.
Now that you've stopped the show for a second time,
sorry!
We can go into spots. That's fine. We will come back with the Hollywood Hot Sheet and also the audio vault later
and
on
hedonism.
In the broadcast. And
yes.
Hedonism. And Penn Jillette will be on the broadcast
cool.
later
wow.
on. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. We'll be right back.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.